Hallelujah. One of my favorite teachings that Pastor Joshua had taught was on September 28, 2012, called Fear, the Enemy of Faith. And I think it's time that we recall some of the things that he ministered to us about. He was telling us in this time that there would be 5 years of an era of fear and that we shouldn't fear, but that we would see the world become afraid because of all the things that were going to be happening. And sure enough, they started to come to pass. As a prophet of the end times, the Lord has been using him to warn the people of God so that we would know ahead of time how to prepare ourselves and not to be afraid, but to rely on God. But also those warnings show us what we should or should not be doing. So let's review some things, because November 8th is going to be a demarcation time in the United States. And no matter which way it goes, people will be afraid, right? Yeah. Doesn't matter if people vote Republican, doesn't matter if they vote Democrat. We have to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and rely on God, because we are citizens, not of the United States, but citizens of the kingdom of God. If we remember that first and foremost, then it doesn't really matter what happens on earth, as long as we are led by the Spirit and know how to operate in our authority and dominion. And so we have to overcome fear. It is our enemy. It is not our friend. You know, I hear a lot of psychologists tell people, fear is good. Fear tells people that they're supposed to flee or fight. Fear is something that helps people understand that they have to do something in a given situation. I didn't see that in my Bible. See, it's the response to fear that helps the person. Fear comes as an enemy because it is an ambassador of the evil one. Fear was not sent by God the Almighty. And only that which he has created is good, and that serves him is good. Because when people, you know, entities turn from him and become evil. Now, it is not good. So if fear is not helping us draw closer to God, it must be evil. Okay? So both faith and fear releases an unseen spiritual force that attracts from the realm of the spirit that which it is magnetized to. So if someone is operating in faith, what are you going to magnetize to you? The word of God, the angels of heaven, the powers of God, and you are going to attract goodness and mercy that shall follow you all the days of your life, which means that people go out of their way to do good for you. What will you attract when you're in faith? The promises of God will run to overtake you. It can't help it, okay? But what will happen when someone is in fear, even if they don't realize they're in fear? It attracts the evil one, and the devil's job is to kill, steal, and destroy. So when something is happening in our life that's not going well, we have to stop and think, which one of these am I letting in my life right now? Which one is operating? And whatever's bearing good fruit must mean you're operating in the word of God. And whatever's not bearing good fruit must be we're operating outside of the word of God. So we have to analyze constantly throughout our day what's going on. Okay, so faith is trusting in God's word, and fear is trusting in whose word? The devil's. We don't even think about that part, but it's true, isn't it? Amen. And we're going to look at some similarities of fear and faith. Faith points us to God and is meant to release God's power in your life. Fear points to the devil and is meant to release the devil's power in your life. Now, what is the definition of faith? We will find that in Hebrews 11:1. It is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So because people can't see in the spirit realm, They don't think it's working. That's where people fall down. You have to see with your eyes of faith into the spirit realm. And it goes, it bypasses your natural eyes. It bypasses your mind and it goes to your heart. And your heart has to trust and believe that what God says in His Word is true. And then it will allow us to see into the spirit realm that which is really happening. Okay? So it doesn't matter what your natural eyes see. Stand on the Word. Amen? In other words, faith in God is the substance of the things that you have hoped for. So that is what brings it to you. But faith in the devil, people say, I don't have faith in the devil. Really? But faith in the devil is actually fear. Because in God there is no fear. So if we're afraid, we have just trusted what we had heard and not trusted in God's word superseding that fact. If someone says, you know, so-and-so was diagnosed to have cancer, their heart is gripped with fear. Oh my gosh, so-and-so might die. That fear just became in cahoots with the evil report, didn't it? So what is that person now trusting in? What they just heard, which was of the devil. We have to say, oh, I'm ignoring that one. That is not in my Bible. I'm not receiving that. That's what I told to the cancer doctor who told me I had cancer. He said, you have cancer. I said, I do not. You have cancer. I do not. You have cancer. I do not. He's like, I was single. Hello, Mrs. Wong. Can you talk to your daughter? He was going to send me to the psychologist, I think. I couldn't receive that word. Because once I received it, it would have taken a hold of me. And that fear of cancer would have caused the cancer to come into my life. It's the devil wants to hook. Get the hook in there. And once he gets the hook in, he can wreak havoc. We've got to reject the word of the devil. Okay, we cannot have faith in evil reports. So, people don't realize that they're afraid of things before they even happen. It's called dread. It's the what if. See, that's exactly how fear operates. It'll make you remember the past. Remember this happened and it was terrible. And now the person's afraid it's going to happen again. It hasn't happened so far. But because they continually remember what it was like, what they fear will come upon them and happen. And so fear is not the present. It really goes towards the past and the future. So people have to realize fear has no power except to trick us. And then allow our words to bring demise. If fear is not spoken out, it will have no power. Fear unspoken has no power. Remember that. So it may attack your mind. It may attack your thoughts. Do not give place to your tongue and to your words to create what the fear is trying to say. Because what you speak, you will receive. Make sense? So we got to watch ourselves, especially in these end times. We have to be more vigilant, okay? I remember this girl, I was counseling her, and she said, you know, I went to this Friday the 13th horror movie, and she said, I was so scared. Now, this is a Christian girl. She went by herself at night. And then she got in the car and she said, something jumped in the car with me. And it was behind me and made me scared. All night long I had nightmares. Do you think that something followed me home from that movie? I said, yeah. What do you think? And the first thing that she sensed was fear. fear will go before the other demons. But because she took the bait of the fear, it was able to stay in her car. As a Christian, all she had to say was, get out in the name of Jesus. I cast you out. But she didn't. So guess what? It probably invited 7 more friends to come and join them and have a party at her house, giving her nightmares. Do you see how fear works? It's just a little thing. Oh, it's just a movie. Well, you know what? If there's a movie with fear in it, guess what demon wants to follow those people home and bring their friends? Okay? Now, Pastor Joshua used to work at one of the best biomedic companies in the United States. His job was to find their mistakes, and he got a promotion because he was really good at doing that. But here's what he discovered. He may not even really known how to look at these tests or whatever, but he got promoted and asked to do this, but he's good at finding out facts. So he realized that a lot of the tests, because the machines weren't properly calibrated, were incorrect. The doctors took this test and told someone the pronouncement on their life. That person believed in that report. They didn't even have the disease. But because they believed in the disease, they got the disease, and then they were affected. Do you want to believe in doctor's reports? Those doctors didn't even check the machine. They just had faith in something that wasn't godly. So they trusted something unknowingly. No one discovered it until he discovered it. Which report are we going to believe? The report of the world? Or the report of the Lord, regardless what it looks like. I remember there was this one gal, when I was a missionary in Guatemala, I had asked the chief of staff if he and some of his doctors could go and do medical missions and evangelize in the Pueblo little towns, and we brought free medicine, and then as they were ministering in the natural, we were able to evangelize the people and tell them about Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and they whole families would receive Jesus. And then we would pray for them for supernatural healing, and they were healed. So miracle signs and wonders started to happen. But see, they were attracted to the things they knew of, you know, medicines and stuff like that. Well, his wife was a friend of mine, and she got a bad report. She got a report that there was a challenge of cancer starting in her body. She was told to go to the special oncology lab and do another test. And so while she was there, she's telling me the story that she's in the waiting room and she sees all these people, and the Lord opens her eyes to the spirit realm. And every person that was really scared, they went into the test and came out with like a monkey on their back, and it was cancer. And any person that wasn't scared, they came out without the monkey. And so she goes, well, I'm not getting no cancer. I don't care what the pretests say. The pretest said she had cancer. So she goes in, she takes a test, and they say, I think you have cancer. She says, no, I do not have cancer. In the name of Jesus, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. She comes out, and then they send her reports to the doctor, and the doctor says she has cancer. You have cancer. She says, no, I don't have cancer. Take the test again. She went and took the test again. They couldn't find any cancer. She wasn't going to stand in fear of cancer. And she wasn't going to give it place. So the Lord showed her what was going on with fear and how it invited people to go in and get the cancer. They didn't even have it yet. Okay? That's how powerful fear is. Numbers 13:32. This is an example how people get scared before something even happens. They have faith in the devil's lies, and then they have consequences of that afterwards. When you read that, it talks about how the story of the 12 spies went into Canaan, and they reported that there were men there of great stature, and the Bible calls that an evil report. Man calls it a natural report because what they saw with their eyes. But see, it doesn't matter what medical science says. because really the word of the Lord says you've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. So we have to believe what his word says. And the word of God, remember, changes facts, right? So they reported they were grasshoppers in their sight. That was actually an assumption. And the people moved into fear when they believed that negative report, and they could not enter in and take that land. Later on, they found out when Joshua and Caleb, they were the only two that survived those 40 years, because they were the only two that says, we can go in and take it. Our God said. It was always God said, and they believed the word. God said, all right, we could take it. Well, when they went in and they met Rahab, they went into the citadel, and she had to hide them because they heard that, you know, spies were there and wanted to kill them. She was promised, she and her family was promised that they would not be killed when the Israelites went to storm the city. If there was a red scarlet in her window, they would know which window, which home not to destroy. Well, they found out from Rahab that when her people, the giant people, heard that the Israelites were coming, and they had heard that their God had parted the Red Sea, and they heard that they had no food, but supernaturally every day their God sent manna from the sky. And they had heard that their God, when there was no water, water came out of a rock. They heard that when there was poisonous water, their God changed it to sweet water. They heard that their God was with them and did all these miracles while they were in the desert. They heard that even their sandals did not wear out for 40 years. And when they came to their boundary, those giants were afraid of the Israelites and their God. But because fear came to attack the Israelites, the majority, the 10 spies, received the voice of the fear that said, they see you like grasshoppers and you'll be defeated. They received the lie. They could have taken it earlier. 40 years earlier, they could have taken that land. They would have defeated them immediately because of the fear the enemy had. Now, what lies are we listening to in our life? The lie that there is disease, the lie that there is infirmity, the lie that there's lack in the bank account, the lie that there are broken relationships, the lie that someone doesn't have enough strength and stamina, the lie that someone's not educated so they can't learn quickly, the lie that no matter what happens in the United States, that Christians should be afraid. Lies! We are not going to listen to the lie of the enemy and be afraid, because God did not give us a spirit of fear. He gave us a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. But if we do not see the ploys of the enemy, that fear is an enemy, then we will not be able to stand against him. And so if we know what his snares are, then we are not going to have the consequences that the Israelites had, or other people that fear something in assumption, right? You know, those Israelites cried out to God. Why are they crying out to God? They weren't even in war yet. And so they had a punishment. They had a penalty. They had to turn around. It only took them, I think, 3 weeks to get to from Egypt to Canaan. But because of their fear, 40 years of delay. Have we ever seen roadblocks and delay in our lives? Could it be because the enemy of fear came in and we didn't think that we could move forward with God? But God is a restorer. Amen. When we repent, he forgives and then he helps us. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. See, in Joshua 2:9, Rahab had said, I know that the Lord has given you the land. The terror of you has fallen on us, and that all inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. They were scared of the Israelites. It was actually the opposite. instead of the Israelites being scared of them. How many demons are afraid of you when you walk into a room? All of them should be when you stand in your authority. Is disease and infirmity afraid of you? And when you walk in the doctor's office, cancer wouldn't dare jump on you. Right? Remember, God let them have what they said with their mouth. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Remember the acronym that we always use here? Fear is false, evidence appearing real. It's not real, right? Fear is the voice of demons speaking to you whenever you're afraid. Stop, analyze, and say, what's the opposite of this thought? Pick a promise in the Bible and confess it immediately. For example, if someone walks in a dark room and immediately they're afraid, then instead of saying, oh gosh, it's scary in here, you should say, you know what? My God says I can put the devil under my feet. Devil, get under my feet. My God says I can cast out demons. I cast you out, fear, in the name of Jesus. Go. Do you see what I'm saying? Let's do what the word says. Because as the devil sneaks up to us and gives us these thoughts, we have to analyze. And then we have to paralyze that demon. And then we have to use the word of God and get victory in the name of Jesus. Amen? Now, how does fear work? Fear introduces doubt and unbelief. What? I don't doubt the word of God, somebody might say. But as soon as they give into the fear, they have doubted the word. Because if they were operating in the word of God brings faith and confidence in a situation, regardless of what the circumstances look like. See the difference? Okay? Fear contradicts the word of God, and its primary goal is to attack your faith. Joshua 1:8 is the blueprint to our success, because the devil is afraid of you having great faith, so he wants to steal it from you. He doesn't want you to grow in it. God told Joshua, be strong and of good courage, and very courageous, it says in verse 7. And verse 8, God gave Joshua this blueprint to success, to control his tongue, so fear would not come out of his mouth, by meditating on the word of God day and night, and do all according to what it says. And then he said that he would make his way successful or prosperous. You know, people are like, God, prosper me. God, make me successful. But here, God tells us that we make our own way successful if we meditate and have the word of God be constantly in our mind over and over and over, muttering it over and over and over, like a videotape that's constantly on replay. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. My God supplies all of my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I speak to you, checkbook. You do not have zero balance in the name of Jesus. Right? Okay. 3 out of 4 times God told Joshua not to be afraid. Why? He was training him to stand on the word, not look at the circumstances. Look beyond your circumstances into the realm of faith. Look at what the truth is. Don't look at what the lie is of the fear that's coming to cloud your mind and see these things that the enemy wants you to focus on. That brings fear. Let's focus on the truth, which is the word of God. Amen. In Mark 5:38, Jairus, the ruler of synagogue, asked Jesus for healing for his child. On the way there, the woman with the issue of blood interrupted his journey, and they told Jesus that the child had died. So he's now being delayed by this woman. So they're all concerned that the kid could die before he arrives. What's the first thing Jesus said? Fear not. Only believe, meaning have faith in Jesus. And as you believe, so shall you receive. Because according to your faith, so shall you receive. Fear will bring the devil on the scene. Faith brings God and the angels of God on the scene to you. Okay? God already knows what you need. And when you make it known to him, that when you voice the problem, it makes it worse. It amplifies it. You know, I like how Aunt Sarah says, it amplifies it. Like if someone says someone is injured and it's amplified, someone is injured. That's how fear comes, really amplifies it louder, right? And so we have to let the word of God be amplified in us. So what if someone's injured? You have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Has to be louder, right? So when the demons are talking, let the word of God speak even louder to you, the other side, okay? So when we act in faith, it brings God's help. And Job 3:25, that's where you could find that verse that I told you, what you fear will greatly come upon you. We don't want that happening to you, right? Job didn't have faith that God would protect him. He wouldn't curse God. He still believed in God. But he still had some doubt and unbelief. And because of that fear, all those things happened because he was afraid it would occur. If he would just say, no, in the name of Jesus, my God is going to protect me and my family, I don't believe any of that would have occurred. Fear focuses on the problem, not the solution. And anything that focuses on the problem is not from God. Fear affects your voice and your body as well as tries to control your mind and your heart. And when people are at a loss for words, it's fear. Fear can also attack your lungs and breathing after it attacks your voice. Some people talk too loudly, too softly, too fast, or too slow. All of that is fear sometimes, okay? Do you know when a lion roars, what that reason that they roar for? It makes their enemy become afraid and the enemy freezes. So if the lion sees a gazelle and it roars really loud, the gazelle is so scared, it's paralyzing fear. It stops in its tracks and the lion can attack it and get it. So what do you think the devil is trying to do when he brings fear into our lives? He wants to try to paralyze us so that we will not be able to move forward. We will not be able to protect ourselves or remember the word of God because of the fear. And sometimes people don't even remember what word to say when they're afraid. And that's why you've got to use the affirmations to get it in you so solidly that regardless, it will just come out of you. You know, you ever heard someone stub their toe that's a Christian? And they used to cuss like a sailor. Does a cuss word come out when they stub their toe after they're saved? Or if they've been putting the word of God in day and night, meditating on it day and night, when they stub their toe pretty soon, you know what comes out? Ouch! I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I remember Pastor Matthew saying, when a cuss word didn't come out of his mouth is when he thought he got really saved because he was like surprised that the word came out instead. Because we are a product of what we ingest, you know, you are what you eat. You know, computers are garbage in, garbage out. Whatever goes in will come out of it. So if I have an emergency, it's not the time to prepare during the emergency. It's too late. I have had to put the word of God into my heart, into my mind, into my tongue for a long time so that immediately when I need something, it's an automatic pilot. I don't even have to think about it anymore. And so that's going to be pushing fear away because my faith will arise as faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. And when people say, I'm so bored of affirmations and affirmations and affirmations and affirmations, I'm saying, you know what? In the time of trouble, you're going to be really happy you have done your homework. It's going to pay off. It is worth it. So do not get weary in well-doing. Do not get discouraged, because the Lord said in Joshua 1:8, mutter it over and over and over to yourself so that you make your way successful. You will not be successful if you don't mutter the word of God day and night. So don't hijack your own success by stopping what you're doing. Continue doing what you're doing. And God is a rewarder of them that diligently seeks him. Amen? And so this is one of the most powerful reasons why you should control your tongue, because fear tries to control your tongue. James 3:8 tells you that you need to control your tongue. And so it's really important that we notice when fear tries to come. Hebrews 2:14, fear tries to put you in bondage. Jesus died that through his death and resurrection destroyed the power of death. In God there is life, and there was no death until Adam sinned. So we are subject to bondage because of the fear of death. And Jesus came to deliver us from the bondage of fear of death. So we have to repent of fear of death, because God promised that we could live and remain. And so I'm not going to be afraid of death. It's just another demon. Because why? Jesus took victory. He has victory over death, hell, and the grave. We are made in the image of God, and we are imitators of Christ, and we are his ambassadors. Therefore, I could say, I have overcome death, hell, and the grave. And you can say, you've overcome death, hell, and the grave. Amen? Amen. So why should we be afraid of the fear of death? Acts 10:38, Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He has the keys to the heavens and to heaven and earth. And Jesus said, it is his good pleasure to give you the keys of the kingdom. Why should we fear? Of whom shall we be afraid? If God is for us, who can be against us, right? Okay, so how to overcome fear. That's going to be a really important topic. As soon as you notice your sins, you confess them, according to 1 John 1:9. We don't let them mount up during the day, because that gives more access to the devil to infiltrate your life. We have to like block him as soon as we notice. Now, if you constantly do your confession of your unaware sins, that is protecting you until you realize what they may be. And then maybe at the end of the night, you could say, Holy Spirit, can you make me aware of sins I need to confess? And do a video replay of your day in your mind. And did you get upset at anything? Were you afraid of anything? Did you get annoyed at somebody? Were you offended? Were you offensive? Did you watch TV and get scared about something because they said the markets were going down? I mean, it could be anything that could affect you. The other day, I had to fight off a challenge of a huge headache and a migraine challenge, which I hadn't had for years. And I didn't interact with anybody all day long. So I thought, well, I normally have to run the video retape of, did I get offended by speaking to somebody? Did I have any unforgiveness? Because that's usually the source. And I realized I heard some news reports that were very disconcerting to me about one of the candidates. And I got offended at what that person is doing to people. It didn't even affect me. I don't even know that person. But it did affect me, because I became offended. In my heart, I saw that was wrong. I saw that was incorrect. And so I had to repent of being offended, and I had to bless that political candidate, and I had to forgive them of their sins, and I blessed them and sent laborers of the field to minister salvation to that person and to help them see the light and turn from their wicked ways and sing the song I Love You with the Love of the Lord. That was a really hard thing to do. I sing I Love You with the Love of the Lord to that person, but I did it. And then I started getting relief as I was, casting out headaches. Now I could see more relief. Before I was like, how come it's not working really good? Well, there was still something there. You know, I was doing my affirmations, but I wasn't getting the relief I wanted. So then I asked the Holy Spirit, what is there something else that I need to do? And I got a vision flash of watching that news show of that situation. And I said, the Holy Spirit's trying to tell me this is what there was unforgiveness that I had. And so people said, that doesn't really work. It does work. It does work. And I was afraid that this person would do such horrifying things to this nation and that we would start to see the move of the Antichrist and the one world government come in. And I thought, we're not ready. And then I had to repent and think, you know what? As long as we're in Christ, nothing of the enemy shall by any means hurt us. As long as we dwell in the secret place of the Most High and abide under the shadow of the Almighty, it doesn't matter if we look ready or not ready. It's going to happen one day, right? The scriptures have to come to pass. The prophecies have to come to pass. Now, am I pushing it back with my prayers? So ask God for a reprieve? Yes. I've asked God for mercy so that we could have more time to get ready. But whatever happens, I have to rely on God and know that He's my protector. And I have to continue affirming Psalm 91 and 23 over my life daily, my family, our church, our pastors, wherever we go, and that we'll be in the right place at the right time. We'll never be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And that we keep affirming that no poison, no toxin, no radiation, no bomb, no explosion shall harm me, no germ, virus, superbug, can hurt me because they'll die before they come in contact with me. We have to start praying in faith, believing and walking in faith that these things that we're doing to ready ourselves and to prepare ourselves is so that we will be able to thwart fear, the enemy of our faith. What should we be doing the opposite then? We should be increasing our faith by getting more in the Word of God. And so whatever we're doing now is not enough. We need to amplify our time with God. We need to decrease the things that we do in the world because we are in some desperate times. The end times are not coming. They have come. We are in the middle of them. And so we have to be fully persuaded that God will do what He said He will do according to Romans 4:21. We have to be fully persuaded that God is with us. We have to do more fasting and more praying. And to get rid of fear, Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. So fear cannot grip your heart because the Word of God has it. The Word of God and heart faith is deeply planted in our hearts, and nothing can move us or shake us, no matter what we see with our eyes, what we hear with our ears, what the media is saying or not saying. We know that God is leading us by the Holy Spirit, and we have to get into that secret place more often and hear from heaven His voice and His daily instructions, what we should do, and all throughout the day communicate with Him so that when He says, do not get on the freeway, and all of a sudden some traffic accident happens and there was a two-car death crash and it wasn't your car because you didn't get on the freeway. Do you see what I'm saying? The Christians that the Lord said, do not go to work this morning, did not go to the towers that morning. And they were saved because they had a closer relationship with God to hear His voice, and He guided them. Many Christians died that are good Christians on that day because they hadn't developed their faith to that point. And we need to do what ABC is teaching us and continue in that and not be weary in well-doing. In 1 John 4:19, it says, walk in love because perfect love casts out all fear. So I'm asking God to perfect my love, because if I'm afraid in any way, shape, or form in my life, I haven't perfected love in that area of my life. And I want God to pour more of that love into me, because love trusts. If you do not trust people, that means that you cannot build a relationship. That means you're allowing the devil to bring a lie of fear to not trust those people, instead of casting out the fear and be able to develop that love so that the trust relationship is built and grows strong, so that we stand strong together as a body of Christ. Because a house divided cannot stand, it shall fall. And when people fear each other and distrust each other, then the enemy can work. And so in the name of Jesus, we believe that ABC is a house that is united, not divided. ABC is a house that loves in the love of the Lord, and that we trust one another, and in the name of Jesus, that we are not afraid, but we stand in faith, because we know that the Word of God works in our lives. And we just thank you, Lord God, that we are walking in our dominion and power. We're learning and growing, and no matter what, we know that we have overcome every enemy, because Jesus has overcome them, and we are in Jesus, and we have victory, and we are more than conquerors and super conquerors in Christ Jesus, even over fear, the enemy of faith. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.